currently in the search for extraterrestrial life, what kind of science and technology do we see being employed?
Right. Well, first of all, we're not looking for little green men, as you often see in those science fiction movies and books. We're looking for something that we call biomarkers. So that would be planets with atmospheres that contain things like ozone, water, and methane.
And how do we go about that sort of search?
First of all, we have to find those planets. That's not an easy thing to do. Having said that, by now, I just checked this morning, we have 4,232 confirmed planets orbiting stars other than the Sun, and another 2,500 candidates observed by a space telescope called Kepler over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And so, first of all, we have to find those planets. And once we've got a planet that's pretty much similar to Earth in terms of its size and mass, we would have to figure out whether or not those planets are located at a distance from their star that would be conducive to life. That's what we call the habitable zone or the Goldilocks zone. Clearly, the Earth is in the habitable zone of our solar system, and so is Mars, but Venus is not, for instance. That's like a runaway greenhouse effect. So that's the first step, Earth-like planets in habitable zones around other stars. That's only the first step. What we really want is we want to get an idea of whether or not those planets have atmospheres and whether those atmospheres might sustain life, and that's where we are looking for those biomarkers. Now, that's at the present time pretty much impossible to do because these planets themselves don't actually emit light. They don't shine. They reflect light from the star, and therefore they're very faint compared to the nearby star. And so you really need the next generation of extremely large telescopes to have a chance at looking at the chemical elements in their atmospheres, and we're not there yet.
Given the amount of planets we are discovering out there, whether or not we can find them in the Goldilocks zone or not, have people kind of done the math on the likelihood of aliens existing, intelligent life, or just life in general, existing beyond Earth?
Well, intelligent life is a completely different concept, of course. That requires quite a long time to develop, we think. There are two schools of thought here. One school of thought says, well, in order to produce life on Earth as we know it, we had to go through a series of events, and each of which was so incredibly unlikely that the combination of the same series of events anywhere else is pretty much negligible. That's not the dominant school of thought. The other school of thought uses two principles. One of them is called the Copernican principle, which says that Earth doesn't occupy a special position in the universe, and then the mediocrity principle, which says that nothing is special about life on Earth. And based on those two principles, given the, as you said in the intro, billions of planets out there, people think it's likely that life has developed. We don't know what it looks like, but at least some organic compounds or carbon-based life might be out there.
The discovery of those kinds of similar compounds on Mars, you know, this discovery of bacterium and the like on Mars must have really sort of put a big jolt of adrenaline into this debate.
Well, yeah, Mars has had a few landers, mostly American landers, Curiosity and Opportunity, and they actually specifically look for those chemical traces, but they haven't actually found convincing evidence of even ancient life there. Within the solar system, there are two, I would say, better places to look for life, but we haven't gotten there yet, as they're quite far away. One of them is a moon of Jupiter called Europa, which has subsurface oceans. Water-based oceans, and the other is a moon of Saturn called Titan. Titan is the only planet the only moon in the solar system that has an atmosphere, and it's thought to have liquid hydrocarbon lakes on its surface. So we might find what's called extremophiles there, and so NASA is actually looking at the conditions of where extremophiles on Earth thrive.
You mentioned there, of course, we're not necessarily looking for little green men when we do these kinds of discoveries. Is it fair to say that they are trying to take into account, scientists are trying to take into account, that if we do discover life out there in the universe, it may look very, 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 very different from us or what we might expect?
Yeah, so there have been a number of proposals that might, lead to life. Instead of water, you could use ammonia, but ammonia is not as good at as a solution for biochemical reactions. You could have silicon-based life, but that, again, that is not as good as carbon-based life. So the best bet that we have now is that any life out there is based on carbon, and biochemical reactions might happen in water. Now, whether or not they look like us, that's a completely different question, of course.
And those moons that you mentioned there, Europa and Titan, is there any plans in the near future to discover these or to uncover these ones a little bit more thoroughly?
I believe that some of the space agencies, the Europeans and the Americans, are considering missions out there. But, you know, the development of missions takes a decade or so. So we won't be going there anytime soon.
Well, Richard, I do appreciate you joining us this morning and having a little bit of a chat with us about this one.
My pleasure.